Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. My name is Melitza and I'm your host. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours that we have. You have young children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 50. Thanks for listening to today's show. If you're new here, welcome and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room in the listening and recording corner over here. Last podcast, I interviewed Karen Nemeth, author, educator and director and consultant in the field of child development and early childhood education, about ideas for families to embrace diversity. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show is all about reading aloud with the second World Read Aloud Day on March the 9th. I'm interviewing Pam Allen, literacy expert, educator and founder of World Read Aloud Day. There's also the weekly find about structured recess. That's all coming up in today's show. I hope you'll stick around. I'll be right back after this break.
Attention parents of young children.
The following is a partial list of things that are probably happening in your backseat that you are completely unaware of.
A food item is probably being stuffed into a crack.
A strange sticky substance is being spread everywhere.
Deep, sustained, nasal exploration.
Someone is probably making faces.
Hitting back.
The cleaning of muddy shoes.
Farting!
Something is probably spilling.
Gum is lodging in hair.
And your kids are probably riding car seats that are being used incorrectly. In fact, 3 out of 4 kids are not as safe as they should be. But the latch system is in most cars and makes it easier to get it right.
Just attach the top tether and the lower anchors. The ones down near the old sandwich and the melted down crayons.
Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety.
A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Today I'm talking to Pam Allen, literacy expert and educator for more than 20 years. She's the executive director of Lit World and Lit Life, nonprofits that work tirelessly with vulnerable young people across America and parts of Africa with innovative programs, relationships, and projects to improve literacy. From girls' clubs to programs to encourage boys to love literacy. Pam has written numerous books, including The Complete Year in Reading and Writing, Kindergarten through to Grade 5. Pam developed and implemented the first annual World Read Aloud Day in March 2010, reaching 40,000 children, which is what we'll be talking about in today's show. Welcome to the show, Pam.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you about World Read Aloud Day. There's just a lot of talk at the moment about World Book Day, which is on March the 3rd, but this is World Read Aloud Day on March the 9th. What a great way to keep the ball rolling on literacy. Can you tell us a little bit about World Read Aloud Day?
Yes, well, my organization, Lit World, is advocating for global literacy, and we do believe aloud the power of reading aloud, whether it's one's own stories or the stories of children's literature or poetry or any text that we love, that this is an invaluable tool in helping children learn to read on their own. Amidst in schools, I want to make it very clear that even for families where reading is new to everyone in the family, they're to give each other the gift of the read aloud, even in very, very simple ways. pictures of a picture book and read and sharing the stories of them together, even if the text that goes with it feels hard. So we're really trying to convey the power of the read aloud as a tool for literacy, and also just to share in the day as a way to raise all our voices on behalf of the 775 million read who so long to join the world of readers.
That's amazing. What do you and Lit World hope to achieve with World Read Aloud Day this year?
Well, this year we're hoping, and I'm hoping to double the numbers of people who celebrated from last year. We're hoping to identify events in every state of the United States and almost every country in the world. We may not reach a full 100% every country in the world this year. But for this year, we're really expanding it through people like yourself who've been such wonderful ambassadors for this cause, to have everybody join in so that we can really truly say to every child, we're all together in this. There's no boundaries that divide people. I think in some ways, I think adults make up a lot of ways for us to divide each other. And I want World Read Aloud Day to be a very global effect and a global idea in which a child sitting in a school on that day or sitting at home to the village on that day says to himself, I'm really not alone. Everywhere in the world today, people are raising their voices for me.
That's a really powerful image to think about. Everybody can be reading at the same time, or, throughout the whole day, there's just groups and groups of people that will be, gathering together doing the same thing. Why is reading aloud so important for our children?
Well, it's really an amazing kind of within the human spirit. There's a desire on the part of a human, sort of a basic human instinct, to want to connect through stories and to want words to matter to us. From whatever culture we come from, it's just such a universal humanizing. It's a way to introduce the child or the adult who's learning to read to the power literature holds over us. And in a way where even if that's a struggling reader or just learning to read, the Read Aloud liberates us from the written page or from the actual learning to read piece of it, and gives everybody a sense of what the power and potential is of the story itself. So when you think about someone reading, memories people have of being read to, a lot of those memories really come from being near someone or hearing a story that mattered a lot to the person telling it. You're thinking about what to read aloud on World Read Aloud Day. It doesn't even have to be something. It could be something that you wrote. Maybe perhaps it's a story to share with your child, or some little tidbit of some special knowledge that you'd like to impart, and to just write that down or to share it as a, quote, read aloud with your child in a literary motif. I mean, this is as old as, in the days when people sat around an open fire and told stories. I think that that is really where the momentum, why people so want to read and why people so want to decode, and why I think the internet is so powerful, is people just do want to connect. And the Read Aloud is providing us with the opportunity to share the structure of literacy with children even before they can read. And as they're learning to read, what they can aspire to. So, for example, my mother from Little Women, even before I could read it myself, and it was a way for me to aspire, to have aspirations as a reader.
Oh, that's a really, really good story. I was on Twitter before we had a call, and I was asking people what they thought was the best read aloud that they could think of. And one lady said Room on a Broom by Julia Donaldson, which is just such a great book because it has full of rhyme. Are you familiar with that particular?
No, I don't know that one. Tell me again the title.
Room on a Broom.
I don't know it.
Yeah, it's a really good story. You'll have to look it up.
All right,
it's just amazing how people are very quick to be able to tell you a book that comes to mind that they would love to read aloud. But they're not as quick to actually read aloud to some of their children. I mean, I'm not talking about that in particular, but in general, you can think of a book almost straight away. I think most people, if you ask them what's a really good book to read aloud, they can come out with something. But finding the time to actually do that with the children can be really difficult.
I know, I really agree. And also I often say to parents that everyone saves the read aloud to right before you go to bed, you know, just right before the child hops into bed and then the child gets into bed, that's when they'll squeeze it in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always say to parents that, and caregivers and grandparents, you know, just like you wouldn't have the child just practice the violin, like right before, you know, 8 o'clock, you want to do this very important of the day also. But it's amazing to me how you're right, how people, like, they're immediately very evocative about remembering their own or having a book that they think would be an amazing read aloud. But when it comes to really creating the time or reserving the time with their children, sometimes that feels a lot harder. And what I want to say is I think the read aloud is really as important as a balanced nutrition in any diet. It's really a very important part of raising your child or taking care of a child or being a grandparent to a child. And it's potentially one of the most important things you can do to raise that whole and healthy child.
Today I'm talking to Pam Allen about World Read Aloud Day. You can find her on Twitter at twitter.com/PamAllen and on facebook.com Lit World. That's LITWORLD. You can also follow the discussions about World Book Day with the hashtag WRAD. We've just been talking about how difficult it can be for parents to read aloud with their kids. And, you know, once you move past one child, the common response I often hear from parents is that, well, if you've got a baby and a three-year-old, how can you read the same book so they stop reading aloud? Mm-hmm. And then you've got your four, five, six, seven-year-old who's just starting to read and they're really excited, so they're reading to us. You know, where's the time going to be when you can read aloud? So is there a time when you would say that enough is enough and no more reading aloud?
Well, I never say that. I mean, I think it's actually really healthy for us as adults to be listening and hearing. And I think parents who have children of different ages, because that is a question I get asked a lot, where they're worrying about the levels. You know, they're just worrying. It's almost a little overwhelming to think, how am I going to read, you know, the selection that I choose for my six-year-old, I choose for my three-year-old. And what I say to that is that I actually want, you know, I do encourage families to be as flexible as possible, and that your three-year-old is actually just loves to be with you and they're dozing off while you're reading to your six-year-old a book that's a little longer. Worry about that. It's just the sheer nearness of you and the sheer fact of reading together that's really important. So in terms of that, I also want to go the other way to say that the six-year-old, I wouldn't be so worried to say, oh no, I'm reading to my three-year-old now, and then I better not read to my six-year-old because the six-year-old will think that book is too babyish. As soon as we act like six-year-old will claim it is too. But if we go into it saying, you know, I am like in my middle age and I still think that Dr. Seuss is amazing, how about you? Our six-year-old will also immediately model, and it's really good for them to act simpler texts. Listen on many different levels. They can start to memorize some of the text, which is really good. A six-year-old is reading and learning to read even more and more in school. And there, just even listening to the rhyme language, things that when they were three, they couldn't really pick up on. But now later, 3 years later, while it's being read to their three-year-old brother, they actually can pick up on a lot more of the complexity of the text and even the storyline and rhyming scheme. And all of that becomes more sharply into focus. And as far as, you know, when to stop, I mean, I have, my daughters are now, you know, much older, and our younger one is a 17-year-old to her. You know, now it's op-ed pieces from the new, a really great talk of the town, snippet from, you know, a magazine. I read the Academy Awards were on last night. I read her the piece about the King's speech. So it's just, yeah. You know, all these little things that may, that's, I'm not reading her Dr. Seuss anymore, of course, and, you know, those days have really passed by, but I'm very interested in what she has to say, and I think it's a lot different than just pushing the newspaper over to her and saying, will you take a look at this? I think when I read it aloud or when my husband reads it aloud to her, she's, you know, maybe just stirring her soup on the stove, or she's, you know, busy sitting playing with the dog on the floor, whatever she's doing, but she's, and so it's, you know, as I say, I mean, until my kids can go off and find other people to read to them, hopefully their spouses or partners will do the same. I think it's just such an amazingly valuable tool to keep the line of communication open between you and your kids.
I mean, totally. When we were in the car just today, I remember one of our favorite books is Squash and a Squeeze, also by Julia Donaldson as well. We're big Julia Donaldson fans as well.
Awesome.
And, you know, we're going along and one of the boys said, "You're really squashing me." And I said, you know, a line from there, you know, "My house is a squash and a squeeze." And they both said, "So take it all out," which is a line from the book. And then they started going back and forth with actually reciting part of the book. And I realized that they had learned so much of it.
Yes.
I thought it was really funny and they ad-libbed it. It's all animals that have to be taken out of this house. But they found things inside of the car that they were like, you know, "Take the book bag all out," and, you know, whatever they had. And it was really funny. It was a nice moment to hear them laughing and playing with the rhyme and, you know, actually trying to find rhyme, but just remembering the story. And it was the way that you could read it aloud that I think really helped them with that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think, you know, that kind of goes to the point about the read aloud as an art form, that it's something that you can actually develop your skill as a parent or a caregiver, grandparent, you know, any of the above, but I feel like I've gotten better at it over the years. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Myself as an adult listening to this program, and you feel like you're not somebody who really likes to read aloud, or don't even really know how to get your intonations correct or anything like that. My feeling about that is, as adults, we get better and better the more we do it. So it's even not just for our children or for the children we're taking care of. It's really also for ourselves. I just think it's a great skill to have. I think so much to so many children across my, you know, these last 20 years, I feel like has made me a better orator and a better communicator, because I had to really think about my audience, to think about who you're reading for. Like you said, you can make things very playful with a playful tool. I think it's helped me too. You know, it's more confident about my oral speaking skills. And I think that's a very benefit to being a parent or a caregiver who's reading to a child.
Absolutely. And they are your biggest fans. And so if you start really young, then they really just love the way that you say it and the way that you do it. And they really aren't going to criticize you and say, "Hey, you've changed your voice. It wasn't like that a moment ago."
Exactly. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing, like you said, about children. Because sometimes parents will say to me, you know, "I get a little nervous, like I made a mistake, I don't want my child to feel like I'm a struggling reader," or maybe even you choose a book to read that isn't really just right for your child and it feels a little awkward to read it. And the thing I say is exactly what you said is, you know, children in general are big fans. You know, they love to be read to. They love to be thought about. They're so forgiving and they're such great compatriots. You know, give me a group of kids anytime over a group of adults, because they'll always, if you make a mistake, you know, or you need to do something, always are so generous and so loving. And I don't know what happens to people after the age of 10, but, you know, I'm sorry to say, I wish that weren't the case, but, you know, anybody under the age of 10, I've never met, never have. And I believe that, you know, a lot of it has to do with they haven't been, I think the world is a very, very wounded in it. Mm-hmm. And I think that children come into the world very, very open and very easily influenced. And that's a big responsibility for all of us who have anything to do with children. And I think that the read aloud is such a pure opportunity for us to impart value, to be gentle and careful, you know, with our children.
So what are some fun and creative ways that mothers and tots can celebrate World Read Aloud Day this year on March the 9th?
Well, we have, first of all, everybody should come visit our website, litworld.org, and register. Even if you're reading at home with, you know, one child, it's going to make it. If you come and register, we're trying to collect minutes so that we can build up to 775 million minutes, which represents the numbers of people who don't know how to read worldwide. And so that if you come on there and you're a mom, and you read to your three children last on World Read Aloud Minutes, then times that by three, by four, including all of you, and tell us how many minutes you read. We also have activities on the website. So if you wanted to download a poem or you wanted a book recommendation, we have all of that for you there. The other thing is, if people are interested who are listening would like for Lit World. We, of course, are constantly trying reaching as many children as possible. So people have been hosting book swaps where everyone brings their favorite book or a favorite book and, quote, sells it to each other for a dollar. And then we, that's raise money where nobody has to buy anything to actually raise money, you know, outside of the swap.
Yeah.
So those are two ways. One is just simply to celebrate World Read Aloud Day with us and let us know. We're trying to reach every country in the world and every state in the U.S. And so if you are listening and you do something for World Read Aloud Day, just let us know where you are because we're going to post that on our world map and we would love all on all sides of the pond are mm-hmm. celebrating with us.
Excellent. That sounds like a lot of fun things to do. Wow.
Yeah.
You've got us all fired up now and got all these ideas going for World Read Aloud Day. If we want some resources to help us with reading aloud, you know, we've been listening to what you've been saying and we think, yeah, that's me. I used to do that, but I don't do it. You know, what books and resources would you recommend for us to get going with?
Well, of course, I have to mention that my own book, which is called What to Read When, and it's the subtitle is The Books and Stories to Read with Your Child, Times to Read Them. And I think it's a helpful book. I feel that people have, you know, parents have been very happy and appreciative for it. They say that they'll go to the library or the bookstore and not really know what they're looking for. Also, I have at the beginning of the book a lot of tips for parents and grandparents and caregivers. And then I have a section in that book where I take you on a kind of a reader's ladder journey where you can see at every age what kinds of books might be just right for your child. The other book that I love very much is called The Read Aloud Handbook by Jim Trelease. He's really my great mentor and hero and friend. And I'm forever indebted to him for his inspirations, and I'm very, very grateful to him for blessing me with so much inspiration and also for him. So he's pretty special, and his book is very, very special. And really just having people come to our website, Lit World is going to, we continue to expand as a resource, not just for educators, but really for everyone in the community, in particular moms and dads and caregivers who are really spending very important time with children. And that being said, we're Lit World campaign in April, and we'd love to have anyone listening here today join us in that campaign. And if you're interested, to please also come to litworld.org and just let us know you're interested.
Excellent. Well, today I've been talking to the founder of World Book Day, Pam Allen. To see the links we've talked about in this week's show and to get involved, please visit the website raisingplayfultots.com. Thanks for your time, Pam.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I enjoyed this interview, and I enjoy what you're doing is so important. And everyone who's listening is clearly very committed to taking good care of children. So thanks to everyone for that.
Thank you. I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Kelly Ireland of We Are Here, kellyiblogspot.com, and you are listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Welcome back. Hope you've had lots of ideas about World Read Aloud Day that will get you into the read aloud mode. Now, many of you will be listening after this date, but the themes still hold true. Don't forget that you can register at litworld.org/World Read Aloud Day. That's all one word. What would be your favourite read aloud book? I would love to know. You've heard mine. You can call into the voicemail and leave a message on 0203-286-7109 in the UK, or if you're in the US, you can do 512-827-0505, extension 3998. It's a recorded message, and you just get to leave a comment. It may get played on the show, so let me know if you don't want to do that. This will be the podcast question of the week. You can also leave a message on Facebook if you prefer instead. Okay, let's see. It's time for the weekly find. This is the part of the show where I highlight a play activity or resource that I found interesting this week. And I've been thinking about the time of year that we're in and parents' conferences. I have a parents' conference today. And for those of us that have children that are going to schools or daycares, then there's that time when you have to go in and talk to the teacher about how things are going. Unless you write down the questions, once you're sitting with a teacher or carer, you can just forget those important questions that you had that you wanted to ask. Well, I know that that's what happens to me, especially when I'm at the doctor's. There are so many brilliant things that are happening in school, and they're trying to tell you all of the things that's happening with your child and in that childcare setting. And sometimes we just don't know all that's going on because there is just so much going on. If we don't know what's going on, we can't change it. Neither can we commend what's going on and be excited for the things that are happening. So one of the things that we can talk about is playtime or recess. The amount of time children spend outside playing. Without a doubt, this has changed a lot in the past few years. It's a good question to ask because you get to actually learn about what they actually do when they go outside to play. Because we all have a different concept of what it is to play outside. Where do they go? How structured is it? How long do they have? And what about rules of weather? It's always interesting when you talk to your friends to see what they do, but it's even more interesting when you talk to your childcare setting or your school to see what's actually going on there. Sometimes you'll be a little surprised. I saw an article called Letting Kids Play Pays Off. Structured recess leads to well-behaved pupils in class. And it was from the Baltimore Sun. This particular school from the article, from what I can make out, doesn't have physical education classes, doesn't have a PE time, but students are receiving about 30 minutes of physical activity during the school day through Playworks, an Oakland, California-based company that provides structured recess programs. What do you think of structured recess programs as an alternative to the chaos of playtime? And yes, chaos of playtime is a direct quote from the article. The article does refer to middle school age children, which I guess they will play a little differently than our early years children. Children need a whole lot of practice playing, and with the upswing in screen time, their playing time outside, I'm assuming, is less than it's ever been. So I can see why structured recess has become such an important part of many schools, daycares, and childcare settings. If you're curious to know a little bit more about Playworks and what they do, you can visit them at playworks.org. While you're at school and you're having a conversation about recess and playtime, if you're not entirely happy about what you hear, how much playtime that they're having, then you should really look into the article by Megan Rosker called Restoring Recess Tips. She shares one mother's journey to restore recess to her local school. So what are your thoughts on recess or playtime for your preschooler? Is it something that concerns you? Are you not bothered too much about it? Or is it something that you feel passionately about? What percentage of their time should be spent in outdoor physical play, do you think? Does that percentage change if you pay for the placement? Or if that placement is for 3 hours versus a full day? Should playtime decrease with age? Because, you know, let's face it, they have other things that they should be doing. What about homeschooling families? How do you plan for playtime and recess because you have a little bit more flexibility with your timings? Is it different for you? I would love to hear your views on the interview or this article. To find out links to the articles that I've just spoken about, for the places that Pam mentioned in her interview, you should visit the show notes, and that's at raisingplayfultots.com/50. As that's the number of the show. While you're at the website, you'll find simple ways to support Raising Playful Tots. I must say a big thank you to those of you that are recommending the show to your friends and stopping by and saying hi on Facebook. It's really good to get to know you guys. I do appreciate the time you take each week to carve out to listen and to recommend the podcast to other people. If you have show ideas or you just want to comment about playtime, WRAD, or send your comments to melitsa@raisingplayfultots.com. That's M-E-L-I-T-S-A. You can like us on facebook.com/raisingplayfultots or tweet me at playactivities on Twitter. You can call our voicemail number too if you want to leave a message. Okay, we're coming up towards the end of our show. It's gone pretty quickly today. Thanks for bearing with us. We had a little trouble with the website, so this is why the show is out a little later this time. But we're all back. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 50. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.